So I want you to go over to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And I have been looking at these seven letters. By the way, let me tell you something about these letters that were written to the churches. They were written to literal churches. I mean, real churches in what they called then, they called it Asia, which is now in Turkey. Okay, and guess who wrote these letters? If you've got a Bible with red letters, if it's a red letter edition, you know that these are letters that Jesus wrote. Just like a letter that you wrote to your friend or relative, he wrote these letters to those churches. Now, there's a lot of, I know a couple of major speculations, and some say, well, you know, this was talking about the different problems that we have in the church. And I can vouch, I believe that. I think that as we read these, if you read the seven letters, you know that it is dealing with issues in the church. But it was also, many scholars say it's talking about an era or a season of time when that church was on earth. But we're going to go farther and say tonight that it's dealing with the last day church, because you know what? It is the last church that's mentioned. You understand that? It's the last church. There were seven churches, and this is the Laodicean church. And Jesus tells John, it was penned by John, but Jesus was giving it to John, and John wrote it down. So I was thinking this afternoon, remember how, well, of course we'll remember in the days of COVID, what was the big deal they made us do? It was all about your temperature. It didn't matter. You just had to have your temperature taken, the kids, even before they went to school, though they had a mask. And I went to my doctor one day, and on the door, I didn't even get to the door. There was a lady, probably a nurse, sitting out front with a table in front of the door to take my temperature. And I don't know if I said it out loud, but I thought, you have got to be kidding. And it wasn't just for the sick, but it was for anyone that came. You had a mask, but you're going to get that temperature taken. And so, you know, and during that whole time, it was usually a low-grade fever. But if you had COVID, now some of you may have went on up, but I had COVID pretty seriously. I never went to the hospital, praise God. But mine would always run about 99. And she would say, you're running a fever, 99. Most of them would say it was a 99 low-grade fever. But Jesus here, I believe, in this portion of Scripture, starting, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And I think that you would agree with me by the time we finish that Jesus was setting the temperature in this church. He said, you all are kind of sick. You have a temperature. And he was telling us, Dina, I believe he was telling us, this is the atmosphere that's going to be on earth in the last hours of the last days. All right, so let's just, we'll just read a little bit at a time. Verse 14, 3:14, and to the angel, and that means the pastor or the deacon or the bishop or whoever's at the top of the church, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, remember, it's written in red. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. He's talking to John. Write these things down. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus tells him who he is. Now, he identifies himself in every one of these letters to each one of these seven churches. But here he calls himself, I'm telling you to write this down, says the Amen, which means, so be it. This is the way it is, John. So he calls himself the Amen. I am faithful and I am a true witness. I am the beginning of the creation of God. I was there in the very beginning. I'm going to finish this thing up. But for right now, I have something I need to say to you, and you really must listen. So I think it's very important that we get this. I thought today, boy, I should be bringing this on Sunday morning, but I believe it's appointed us, amen? You can teach it. You can teach it to others you know. look at verse 15. I know your works. Jesus says, you can't fool me. You can say whatever you want, and you can work as hard as you want to work and do whatever you think, but you can't work your way in. Jesus says, I know your works. And let me say this before we go to the next few words. In every single one of these letters, I just went through and underlined them. In fact, most of them are already underlined. Chapter 2, he's talking to the angel of Ephesus, and he writes, verse 2, I know your works. I know you. All right, so it's in all seven. We're not going to redeem the time, but it's all through the word here. In fact, chapter 3, verse 2, he right in the middle says, I know your works. He goes down into chapter 8, verse 8, he says, I know your works. And now we're at the lukewarm church. We're down here in Laodicea, the very last church. And he goes, verse 15, I know your works. That you, look what he says to them, that you are neither cold or nor hot. And then Jesus says something that we don't hear him say much. He says, I could wish you were cold or hot. But he goes, I know you. He is taking their temperature and he says, you are neither one. How many of you have been out there on a really hot day in the summer? We get out there and you want an ice cold drink of water or an ice cold soda or something, and you go and the water is lukewarm. That's not good. Or in the summertime or wintertime, you want a hot drink. And what happens if you get one that's lukewarm? I just can't tolerate. I'll just toss it. And that's the same way if my tea's not cold enough. If you don't have enough ice, I don't even drink it. It's got to be cold or it's got to be really hot. Jesus did, I wish I could. I wish I could say you were either one. And then Jesus describes to them what that means. Look at verse 16. So then, because you were lukewarm. And then he tells them what lukewarm means. He says that means, well, he didn't say that. I said that. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is pretty mean. I mean, that's like tossing your warm tea or tossing that cold coffee or lukewarm coffee. I can handle iced coffee, but not lukewarm coffee, not lukewarm tea. And so Jesus here, listen to me, Jesus does not even deal with their false prophets. He's not dealing with the false teachers. He's not dealing with Jezebel. Now, he dealt with all these things in some of those other churches. You ought to read them if you've never read them before. He talks about false teachers. He talks about laziness. He talks about that Jezebel, controlling spirits, liars. You know, he talks about all that. Here, he doesn't talk about any of that. He's just talking about their temperature. My goodness, he says, you've become a lazy bunch. You're not really wound up. You're not real passionate about me. You're not real fervent. And you're not really turned off. You still go to church. You know, you still do what you know to do. You still read. You still pray. You still talk. You still give a little offering now and then. But I know your works. I know. But it's about more than works. So he says, but lukewarm is neither one. Now, isn't it funny, church, that look, okay, Jesus went from when he was on the cross and these dirty, rotten sinners nailed him on the cross. And what did he say to his father? Oh, Father, he's up there dying and bleeding like something we have never, ever seen in our lifetime. And he's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. They have not a clue. Father, please forgive them. But now he's talking to his people. And he's talking to this church that's been serving him. And I believe he's saying, look, you guys, I have given you everything. I gave you myself. I gave you my love. I gave you my blood. I gave you my unconditional love. I gave you forgiveness. I picked you up when you couldn't get up yourself. I gave you grace. I gave you mercy. And I let it follow you all the time. And you mean to tell me this is all I get? Is lukewarmness? That means you really don't care. You're not concerned about the spiritual things anymore. They don't excite you. Life's all about you. No, you just don't care anymore. He says, and remember when he said, nevertheless? He said, I told you. Remember, he says, Father, if it be your will, let this pass from me. But nevertheless, if this is your will, I'll do it for those I love. And he loved us so much. And the same Jesus that said, I forgive them, I gave you a nevertheless. And to the sinners, he said, Father, forgive them. But to his own people, he's like, this isn't working. I'll just spit you out of my mouth. This is what he says to his own people who love him. And yet to the sinner, he was merciful. And this is really powerful, don't you think, church? I just think it is so powerful. And so he took their temperature, and I'll tell you right now, he didn't like it one little bit. He didn't like it at all. And when people come in this church, thank God. In fact, Brother Kenny's family told me the other day, they said, we could feel the love in the church when we came in. They still feel it from you and me. They still feel some fervency, some heat. It's like this morning I boiled 2 eggs. I put them on the fire. I put the little pot, the little pan on the fire, turned the heat on. And it was that heat that boiled those eggs. And so when people come in, if you and I are hot and we love Jesus and we are fervent in our love for him, guess what? They can feel that heat. They can feel the fire. But see, the Holy Ghost came, and Jesus gave them the Holy Ghost. And John said, when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And this had been about maybe 30 years, maybe after Jesus died, maybe 30 years from then, maybe 60, I don't know, somewhere in that area. You hadn't even gone one century yet. And he goes, you have no fire. What happened to the fire on the day of Pentecost? You've already lost the fire. How long have we been saved? And sometimes you just get too complacent and start going through the motions and forget about who he is or what's this whole thing about? What are we doing? Why do we go to church on Sunday? Why do we go on Wednesday? Why do we serve him? Why do we give? Why do we? Why don't you forget that and say, look who he is. Look what he has done. Look who he is. That's why I'm here. This is why we're here serving him. And I'll tell you this. He always, not only is he a temperature gauge or a temperature taker, he always has the last word. I'm just telling you. It doesn't matter what you say or what I say. He is going to have the last word. What do you think, Mama Garcia? Is he going to have the last word? Oh, yes, he is. He will have the last word. And sometimes our words, sometimes our thoughts are just, they've got to just be plain bogus to him. He's like, what are you? What are you saying now? What are you thinking? Huh? He's talking to his sweet people. And today for the past 30, 40 years. There are prosperity teachers on TV, and I love them all. I cut my teeth on Kenneth Copeland's bulldog kind of faith. Not putting anybody down, but I'm just telling you, I think they have hurt the church world in this last hour. Because they will tell you, you can have what you say. I know there's power in the tongue. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. But be careful, church. They say, just speak it. You can have what you say. Mm-hmm. You can have what you say. You say it. You say, well, have you ever seen someone come and they've got a cold and you say, here, here's a tissue. Oh, no, don't give me a tissue. Someone said in my office one day, no, I won't take it. I don't receive it. I just don't receive it as a cold. And I said, honey, it does not matter whether you receive that cold or not. You've got a snotty nose cold. You may as well just admit it. And you should have heard the one that called and left a message on my phone one day to tell me to please pray. They said she might have breast cancer, but she's not receiving it, so she don't have it. And I thought, well, then what am I praying about? I don't have to pray. So Jesus settled those words. You can have what you say. Say to that mountain, oh, that's been preached for 30, 40, 50 years, and I still preach it. Yes, say to the mountain, don't just give in and take everything that comes along. I get it. But when Jesus said you can have what you say, he's talking about a few things, and we say, I'm not going to receive that. Well, Jesus said, what are you going to do with the scripture that says, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray, James 5:14, and let them anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and I'll heal the sick and raise them up, and if they've committed any sins, I'll forgive them. So what are we going to do with some of these other scriptures? See, we could get so unbalanced in some of these doctrines, but I'm just telling you, don't get unbalanced. Most people are just afraid the devil's going to hear them say something. I mean, yeah, I don't want to call names. I'll just say, so sad. When you have people that bite that off and they won't call for the church to pray. In fact, they won't even tell you. I tell our sweet sister, she has this horrible cough. You need to go to the doctor and have that cough checked. And she'd almost slap me with her tongue saying, oh, pastor, you know, just pray for me. I'll have the church pray for me. I'll be all right. I said, we are praying for you. I'm praying for you, but medicine and doctors and prayer go together. To come back, and it was getting worse. She starts losing weight. You and I are praying. And I would say, you need to go have that checked. Pray for me. Pastor, just pray for me. Like, oh, ye of little faith. And I said, but the Bible tells you to call us. We will all come to your home. I'll get a group. I'll take my bottle of oil, and we'll get some believers, intercessors, and we'll come. Just pray for me. It was like talking to the wolves. She was disobedient. In 5 months, she was nowhere around. She's gone. She's in heaven. We know that. But I'm like, I wonder, that's all I'll say, is I just wonder. And Jesus just clears some things up. And let me show you how he cleared it up, just in case some of you have already mad at me right now. All right, look at verse 17. He's changed the subject now from 16 that says, you're lukewarm, you're neither cold or hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Verse 17 says, because you say, huh? What did he say? Yeah, he said, because you say, you think I say. Because you say, I am rich, I become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And you don't even know that you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're blind and you're naked. He's saying, get a grip. You're saying I'm rich. Well, they taught us now for 30 years, let the poor say I'm rich. Let the sick say I'm healed. Amen. I shall live and not die. Amen. I'm not trying to mix you up here, but hear the word of the Lord. He said, you say I'm rich. You say I'm this. You say I'm that. I believe in a good confession, yes, but also remember you can teach a parrot to say, Polly, want a cracker. You can teach a parrot to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But it's head knowledge with that parrot. And when we get in trouble is when we make a confession with our mouth because we're afraid if we say it in front of the devil will get us. And I think sometimes that's one of the biggest things that people hold back is because they're afraid the devil will hear them say something. You are not that weak. I don't care what the devil says. Let me tell you, I'm going to have to go have a... Well, you know that thing where you don't like to have it and you have to drink all that stuff? Okay, but you know what? I'm going to make sure I have about 5 people there and I'm probably going to tell you all and you're going to pray for me and I'm going to have the whole staff and you're going to be there praying for me. I'm not that tough that I don't need prayer. I just need it and I don't care. Amen? Thank you, all 5. Yeah, that's good. That's good. At least we're going up from 2 to 5. He said that you say I'm rich and I'm wealthy and I have need of nothing. I don't need anything. Then he says, then what can I give you? I can't give you anything if you don't need anything. You say, well, I already got it. I got it by myself. Yeah, he said, you didn't do squat if he talked that way. I doubt it. But he said, but you don't know that you're wretched. You got other issues going on. You're miserable, and you're poor, and you're blind, and you're naked. You just do whatever you please in the name of Jesus and call it so. Now, you'd think after all that, he's just slapping people up against the side of the head. No, he's not doing that. But I can tell you what, tonight, let's be real, just like Jesus. Jesus is real. He's a reality man. And you can say all day long, what's today? What's the day of the week? It's Wednesday, and we know it's Wednesday night because we're here. We can say all day long, this is Saturday. You say it, say it, say it, say it. Say all you want to say, this is Saturday. But when reality strikes, it'll tell you tonight is Wednesday. That's not going to change. It's just going to be Wednesday. And so he says, look, I know how you are. I know. But whatever we do, he said, you say, but I say, hey, he says, I'm talking to you. Hey, 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 I am talking to you, my sweet people. My church, I have something to say to you. And look how sweet he gets here in verse 18. Now, I told you, he speaks in reality. And he says, but here's what I will do. Here's, look how sweet he is now. Now, some of us would have said, adios, amigos, if we were Jesus. But we're not Jesus. Look at what he says to them now. Changes. He doesn't really change the subject. But you judge here what he's doing. He's just so good. Here's the mercy and grace. Verse 18. I counsel you. He says, here's my counsel to you. You buy from me gold that's been refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And Jesus is giving great counsel here. He said, I'll give you real clothes. I will give you real riches. And I will give you real salve to put on your eyes that your vision will return. You say, I forgot. I used to have a vision, but Pastor, I got so far out and I detoured along the way and I just don't know. He said, I'll give that back to you. Jesus speaking. He's so good. He's so sweet. Now, do you think for 1 minute, church, that when you go to a doctor, that your doctor is sitting there thinking, well, I know that looks like a cancerous tumor in them, but I don't want to offend them, so I'm going to be nice, and I'm not going to tell them this. I hope not to offend them. I'm just going to tell them something good. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not like that, and most doctors are not either. The doctor's going to be real with you, and he's going to say you need surgery, and you say, what? He says, no, I need to take that out. And you could have died with it had the doctor not told you that. And I'm giving you something so serious tonight, church. I don't even know what God is doing here on this Wednesday night. But this is powerful to me as a pastor and to you, to both of us. So Jesus won't fear. He's not going to cheer us on when we're doing wrong. Did you know that? We're doing wrong. He's not going to cheer us on because he's afraid he's going to offend one of us. No, he's just not. But today's church, I believe, has just been full of itself. Mega churches, little churches, medium churches. You go to a conference and conventions. I don't go to a lot of them anymore. You just get tired of hearing, well, we're doing this and we're doing that and we're running this and we're doing that. And you just hear them say. And Jesus said, I know all that. I know the works and I know the church is full of itself. Hear the braggadocious ways. But he just knows where we're at. Now look, he said all that to say in verse 19. You know how you used to hate to hear your parents say the same thing Jesus is saying in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. In other words, I spank. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So he says, I know you're my people. And I didn't talk this way to the sinners out there when they were nailing me on the cross. And even those robbers that were next to me, I told that guy, you can go with me to paradise. I know, he says, I know I'm getting on you real bad and real heavy right now. And I don't like how you're acting. And I know your motives for doing what you do. And so you can do all you want to do, but it doesn't matter to me unless you're hot or cold. I want you hot. If you're cold, you're going to need him. If we're ice cold and we've all been there, then what are you going to do? You know that you're miserable. And when you're lukewarm, you have no peace, none. But when you're cold, you're going to cry out to him. When you're hot, you're going to tell others about him. So that's why he said, I want you hot or cold. Because he said, you're going to call on me one way. The other way, you're going to help somebody else. And so he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, you just be zealous and repent. He said, it's all you got to do is just repent for your coldness, for your lukewarmness. All right, and then what? And then what? Well, look at verse 20. It almost broke my heart tonight, and I've read this a million times, but verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In other words, I'm standing on the outside of my church. I'm standing outside of some of my people that are lukewarm and forgot about me and just went their ways and went through the motions. I'm standing at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and do what? Shout at you some more? What? Get on your case some more? What? Tell you that you're losing it? No, he said, just open the door to me, and I will come in and eat with you. I just want to come in and have a meal with you. I'll come in, the King James says, and I'll dine with him and him with me. That means we'll just have good old fellowship. Just do that. What's he saying? Just get up, set your phone down, set the iPad down, set the dishes down, just set it down, and just get up and go answer the door. Jesus doesn't beat the door down of our heart. He doesn't pound and pound and pound and pound. He said, I knock. Jesus and the Holy Spirit is always a gentleman. I knock, and I knock in a way that you'll hear me. We always know when he's speaking to us. I don't care where you've been. When he speaks, we always know it. And he says, so just get up and let me in. And I'll come in and we'll just sit down and talk. And I'll eat with you. And that just means fellowship. And look, and here's what he said will happen to you. So if we get up and go answer the door, get up, and then go back down like Mary did and just sit down with him, just sit in his presence and sit with him. Look at this, verse 21. To him who overcomes what? Lukewarmness. You just overcome that, and you can't do it by yourself. He says, you'll do it with me when you open the door to me. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me. That you sit with me first, and I'll grant you can sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame and I sat down with my Father on his throne, you'll be just like me and do just what I did. Now, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He said, so you got an ear, you can hear. Now, let me give you this doctrine. There's a lot of churches today that said we cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are they going to do with Jesus' words right there? They said he was talking to the disciples. He wasn't talking to us. No, Jesus was talking to the churches. We are the church today. And he said, if you've got an ear, and that means an ear of the Spirit, then hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. We sang that song, I am a child of God, a friend. I am a friend of God. We sure are, but we don't want to be blind. We don't want to be deaf. We don't want to be poor. Yes, he's in us, but he comes right here. He says, let me help you. So let's get up, answer the door. Get up and answer the door and sit with him and have fellowship with him. Amen, church. Hallelujah. I know we got into prayer time, but is that word good? Was that word good? I'm just telling you, I love that word. I love it when Jesus gives us a warning, because you know what he's doing? Getting us ready before the time comes. He says, I'm not going to let you not be ready. I want you all to go with me. So, Brother David, pull the lights. We'll pray just a few minutes here. We got about 10 minutes, and let's come. I want tonight, if you will purpose in your heart to answer the door, just to answer the call. He's knocking on our heart's door. He's knocking on this church tonight because he wants us to be a lighthouse. He wants us to be that boiling water, that fire. So let's just come, answer the door, get up and answer the door, and then sit down with him. Amen.